Hello and welcome to Focus on Business, the program focused on building sustainable businesses and sustainable communities through sound business methods. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's show, we will be getting out of the cubicle and into business once more and begin learning about how to maximize the impact of your relationships in the community and how to build a strong referral network. And we are fortunate to have in the studio today Rachel Kovic-Lyons of Forrester & Associates Insurance Agency. That's one of our neighbors here in Carrboro. Rachel is going to share with us her experience in marketing and business development. She's going to share lessons learned about the role of networks, networking, referral groups, and online networking applications like LinkedIn. She's going to talk about building a business. But before we get started, I'd like to share a little bit about Rachel so you kind of know where she's coming from. Rachel began her career in sales at a small Texas radio station selling ads. We may want to ask her about that too today. Later, Rachel made the move to North Carolina, Charlotte specifically, to work in sales for wireless telephones and telecom products. Rachel soon realized that something was missing from that type of sales, quote unquote, relationship. That was the relationship with the customer. So Rachel soon relocated again to Durham this time to lead the sales and business development efforts for a virtual bookkeeping services firm. And I actually met Rachel while she was in that sales and business development role at that firm. And I soon realized Rachel had something incredible going for her. Her talent for building a network and making great referrals and maintaining those relationships. I've learned a lot from Rachel over the years. And I also watched Rachel do something else, and that was market a small business on a shoestring budget. And she got great results. Now, Rachel is with Forrester & Associates Insurance Agency as Director of Marketing and Business Development. In that role, Rachel uses her network and builds relationships for Forrester and her clients and with her clients. At Forrester, Rachel works with a great team that provides consulting on employee benefits to individuals and organizations with a goal to find the right health insurance to suit the client's needs and budgets. And they have to have a great relationship with their customers in order to be able to do that. Networking still plays a significant role in Forrester's business development. Rachel uses her networking and other skills also as a member of the Board of Trustees for the Ronald McDonald House of Durham. Rachel lives in Durham with her husband, Tim, who owns Blue Restaurant, and their son, Jack. Rachel, thanks so much for agreeing to be on the show today. And I know this hour is going to fly by, so we're going to jump right into the topic. And I want to ask you, from my experience in getting my business started and having a relatively small network, almost a non-existent network when I began, how did you get involved and, you know, start building your network? Because you started from scratch too. I mean, I know initially I must have attended 50 networking events trying to make that, and they didn't work.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Lee. It's great to see you again. So to answer that question, I did move back to Durham back at the end of 2002 and started to work for the virtual bookkeeping company at the beginning of 2003. And when I moved back to the area, I had been gone for 10 years or more. And I knew my family, and I had one friend, and that's it. So basically, I did start from scratch. And so what I did was I joined the Chamber of Commerce, both in Durham and Chapel Hill. And I also joined a BNI group, which is a networking group.
So tell us what BNI is.
Business Networking International. Okay. And it's a formal networking group that you can buy a membership and you attend regularly. And I did learn a tremendous amount from that group. I also joined a civic group, the Chapel Hill JCs. And that was a great way to network, but also give back to the community. Initially, I really didn't know what I was doing as far as how to network. I had come from a sales job where I was expected to cold call. And so that's how I got my business. But what I naturally enjoyed networking because it was going out and meeting people and learning what they do. So naturally, I just started to make relationships as I went out to different chamber events and meet people that I thought would be, you know, great to introduce to my clients to help them out in other areas.
So you just said you introduce people you meet in the network to your clients. So when we think about that network building, doesn't it go out one, two, and three spaces sometimes? You know someone, you connect two people, and may not have a direct benefit from you at that time, but that builds your relationship.
Absolutely. And that, again, was a lesson that I learned later on, too. I started off just always looking to see how I could help by making an introduction, a direct referral. But what I learned, I have a friend in business, John Barr, who's a financial advisor here locally. What I learned from him is that even if you don't have that referral right away for someone, just to always keep those folks in mind who you do know and trust. And if you meet someone who's in a complementary business that you think might be a good connection for them, just make that introduction so that maybe they could meet for coffee or lunch and learn more about each other and who they serve. And then that way they will keep each other in mind. Looking back, I have so many clients that I can say that I met through an introduction that was made, but then that led to another introduction, which that, you know, then became a client.
Was it called 6 degrees of separation? We can all get to one another.
It's something like the Kevin Bacon theory, right. I think. Yes.
Right. So we know one person, we go through that process. But how did it work, though, going into the chambers? Say, let's say the Chapel Hill Carberry Chamber, mm-hmm. You said they joined that. When you attended those meetings, how did you use those meetings to meet people and then take that next step to get one-on-one sessions with them?
I think initially, I do have a shy side of my personality, so I hope this helps any of your listeners who, if that kind of experience makes them nervous. I had to do a little pep talk for myself and basically go in and say, just pretend you're at a cocktail party and you're there to meet all your guests. And so I would just make a point to, you know, try to meet several people and just learn what they do and then leave with a few cards. I didn't expect to leave with a handful, and I didn't expect to leave with any clients per se, but I expected to leave with, you know, one or two good contacts that I could follow up with and ask to coffee or ask to lunch and then really sit down for an hour or so and really learn about what they do.
So essentially our first tip is that you want to go to those events not trying to meet everybody, but to meet a few quality contacts that you can later follow up with and then put into your schedule to meet one-on-one.
Absolutely.
Now, you said you had the shy side, and knowing me and as the listeners come to know me, I'm more extroverted and outgoing. And I know when I first started attending the events, I was trying to watch, and I saw so many people uncomfortable at those events that, like you said, you kind of became the hostess, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to make that. And I actually began to target people that were standing by themselves and did not seem to know how to connect in. And, you know, at one event, someone thought I was the sponsor because I was so busy. I was so busy connecting people and trying to get them into groups that I met much more and had much more immediate connection with people because I was doing what you talk about doing afterwards, making additional connections for them. And so we want people to realize when you go to these events, don't get overwhelmed. Just selectively try to talk to a few people and get their business cards and leave your business cards and come from there. So as you're doing this networking and you've talked about a BNI referral group, and that is a more formal group. You pay an application fee, and then you meet once a week. I know there, right now you're in an independent, what I would call an independent referral group. So can you tell me how that group works, and what's the difference between the BNI group and that group?
Sure. Let's see. So I was in the BNI group first, I'll say, for a couple of years, and it was a great place for me to start and to learn about networking. It really helped. It helped me to learn the importance of a one-on-one, to learn to give a 10-minute presentation to really get to the point of what we do and how we do it. But the one thing that I felt like it was missing, and that I learned from a friend, I'll reference John Barr. John taught me, again, the importance of the introduction, even if it's not a direct referral. And so the group that I'm in now, the Triangle Professionals, does really try to teach our members that, and we are constantly making good introductions for each other.
So define a good introduction.
So, for instance, I'm in the insurance industry, and so I look to meet people that are usually in a human resource position.
Okay.
Those are good prospects for me. John is a financial advisor. He, too, because he helps on the 401k side with employee benefits, he, too, would work with those HR folks. And so had I not known John, he would have been a good introduction for me.
Okay, so you get in a group, mm-hmm. meeting once a week or every 2 weeks. And when that group comes together, how does that work? What does a meeting look like? And what should people expect to get out of those meetings, and how to evaluate a group?
For us, we chose to meet every other week. Just once a week seemed like a lot for us. But we do stay committed to that every other week meeting. And the first hour that we meet is for members only. And we use that as a roundtable discussion time. And so we can talk about what's going on in our businesses. We know and trust each other, and we trust that our conversations are going to be held confidential while in there. And so we can discuss different ways that we might need each other's help to help out a certain client. After that first hour, we do open up our meeting to guests, and we invite our guests to come in, and that could be anyone else in the community doing business. Quite often we'll invite a nonprofit to come in and speak about what their mission is and who they're helping. But we always have a 10-minute presentation. So sometimes given by one of our members, sometimes the nonprofit, and then sometimes even another business member of the community that doesn't necessarily want to be in our group, but just has something to share that we want to hear about.
So when you're setting up the groups, in my experience, everything's kind of an exclusive thing. So there's not going to be two insurance people in a networking group, or two real estate agents, or two whatever, printing companies. So how strategic are you in making a selection of who comes into your group?
That's a great question. We work the same way too. So we absolutely only have one per profession. Really, we just try to find people that we know through doing business transactions, that we know that they are providing a quality service, they are providing a quality product. We know that they follow up with what they say that they're going to do. And so every single member of our group has been hand selected and invited after visiting numerous times, and they also have to go through the process of meeting with each individual member one-on-one. We then do take a vote and vote them in. We just want to make sure we get the right fit for our group. We are not salesy people in that group. We really try to only meet the needs of our clients and never sell something that they don't need. So we have to find people that are going to be like us when they join.
So you're relationship oriented.
Absolutely.
Across the board. So, and I've attended some of those meetings before, and I've had some of my nonprofit clients come and speak. And it's very powerful to see that dynamic of trust and relationships, and then being able to come together to solve each other's clients' problems. How does that networking and that referral group, those warm introductions, those good connections, lay a foundation for you to be able to sell products and services?
They are a tremendous help. There's nothing better than getting a referral as opposed to, if you have to make a cold call, that's not going to get you very far. When you're referred in by, a trusted person, so the prospective client already knows and trusts this person that they do business with, and then they hear that you're a good insurance agent and that you will take care of them and find them what they need that will suit their budget, the work is already half done. And so it's a tremendous help.
So it speeds up the sales process. Now, are there pros and cons between the different types of groups that you've participated in?
I think there probably are pros and cons. I think, it's to each their own. I don't think there's a right answer to that. I think what might work for me may not work for another, and vice versa. So I do believe there are certainly pros and cons. But for me, it worked out to be a part of a group where we hand selected the individual members. Not to say that B&I wasn't great, because it was, and it really helped me build that foundation and learn a little bit about networking when I first got started.
Right. So I've experienced the B&I groups. I've never personally joined one, but I have had a lovely time visiting the different groups, and I would recommend to our listeners just kind of going out and Googling BNI groups in the area, and there are probably 60 of them in the area, and make a connection, reach out to the area coordinators and see if they can attend those meetings just to get a feel for it and try to find your feet as to what will work for you. Some are small groups, some are large groups, and really take advantage of the training and the education programs that those types of groups have, and learn from those that are experienced in that process. If you had to think about it and say two things, what have been the best or most effective ways of giving and receiving referrals?
I think I have three things that I think are the most effective, and this works for when I meet with someone one-on-one and I'm learning about their business. I like to get across these three points, as well as I hope to get these three things back from them. First, I just really need to understand what they do. You know, what is their business about? Who are they about? Then I need to understand who they serve, and that may be, do they serve a particular industry, a certain size company? Is that based on employees or revenue? And then who is their primary contact within those companies that they need to meet? So to have those understandings. And then the final thing that is the icing on the cake that really, really helps me is if I can get them to tell a story on how they helped a client, that story will stick with me more than anything. And then I can use that story to tell my client, you know, this is so-and-so, and this is a way that I know that they helped their client. Maybe you'd like to speak with them as well to see if they could help you in that way. And so having that story is key.
All right. That's great. So we're going to take a break for a few moments here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about giving and receiving great referrals and networking groups, and also how to manage your marketing budget on a shoestring. So we'll be back to Focus on Business.
This is where the cream is gonna rise. This is what you really didn't know. This is where the truth don't lie. You find out who your friends are. Somebody's gonna drop everything. Run out and crank up their car. Hit the gas, get there fast, and stop to think what's in it for me. Or it's way too far. They just show on up with a big old heart. You find out who your friends are. Everybody wants to slap your back, wants to shake your hand when you're up on top of that mountain. But let one of those rocks give way, then you slide back down, look up and see who's around then. This ain't where the road comes to an end. This ain't where the bandwagon stops. This is just one of those times when a lot of folks jump off. You find out who your friends are. Somebody's gonna drop everything. Run out and crank up their car. Hit the gas, get there fast. Never stop to think what's in it for me. Or it's way too far. They just show on up with a big old heart. You find out who your friends are. When the water's high, when the weather's not so bad, when the well runs dry, who's gonna be there? You find out who your friends are. Somebody's gonna drop everything. Run out and crank up their car. Hit the gas, get that fast. Never stop and think what's in it for me. Or it's way too far. They just show on up with a big old heart. You find out who your friends are. Yeah, yeah. You find out who your friends are. Run your car off the side of the road, get stuck in a ditch way out in the middle of nowhere. Oh, man, I've been there. Get you
yourself and a buy, lose a shirt off your back. I need a floor, need a couch, need a bus fare.
Hello and welcome back to Focus on Business. Today we're talking with Rachel Lyons-Kovic, Forrester and Associates Insurance Agency about networking and referrals. And right now we want to kind of talk about the tools that we can use, such as LinkedIn, and how those come into play in what you're doing.
Thank you. I'm glad you're bringing that up. I use LinkedIn quite a bit. When I first started using it, which is whenever it came out, and I can't remember if that was in 2005 or I'm not really sure, but I didn't really get it. I put up a profile. I connected to a few people. That's not really going to do anything. What I figured out is you have to use it in addition to and to complement what you're doing in person with people. And so what I found to be really useful is to, when I set up a meeting with someone, ask them if they have a LinkedIn account. And if they say yes, ask if we can connect. So we can connect. And you may not want to do this on the first meeting because that trust might not be there. And this might be with a referral partner that you've known for a good bit before you ask this. But you meet up and you look at each other's list. And whether that's bringing, if you have a laptop or an iPad, or maybe you preview the list before the meeting and you look at each other's contacts. And you figure out who you might like to meet that you see that they know, and vice versa. And so when you meet, then you exchange the list and you ask, you know, what about this person? Do you think you might be able to introduce me to them? And they can tell you, you know, yes, I feel comfortable with that, or no. But that works great. I've done that several times, and it actually has led to new clients. So I do highly recommend using LinkedIn, setting up an account, and then really working it in that fashion.
So it's www.linkedin.com. And it's a free service. There are paid levels, but I think both you and I are still on the free level.
That's correct.
Which is still very effective. And I do know people that have the paid level, and it gives you a little bit more flexibility and a little bit more access to look at things. But as Rachel said, LinkedIn is a great place to start finding out who you already know out there and make connections, not just locally, but around the country and around the world with that application. And there are others, Plaxo, all kinds of different platforms that are out there that you can look into. So we're talking about internet-based things. So let's talk a little bit about social media and its role. How much do you use Twitter, Facebook, and those kind of things, and what you're doing for your businesses?
I use them, and here's my answer, not enough, probably. I also work for a small company, and so as you know, with small businesses, everyone wears a lot of hats.
Yes.
And I am marketing and business development, and so the social media does, you know, it does fall on my lap. It is one of the hats that I wear. I try to post 2 times a week at least. We use Hootsuite to manage our accounts, which is a great application because you can make one posting rather than having to go into Facebook and go into LinkedIn and go into Twitter and repost the same thing over and over. It will allow you to just post once. And so I do try to post at least 2 times a week, or if something relevant comes up. Right now we have healthcare reform, a huge topic. And so anytime anything that is newsworthy comes out, I do try to post that information.
So I know with my business, I have what I call multiple identities. So the radio show has one, you know, some of the books have them, the business has one. And using tools like Hootsuite, it does enable you to be more efficient. Same thing with blogs. There are blog applications that if you have different places you want to post them, most of them are free. I believe one of them is called Firestarter that I use. And that's something really to leverage. Always remembering, as a small business, try to find the free things that you can do that will expand your reach without hitting your pocketbook. So we look for Hootsuites and different applications that we reach out to and do that. And always get your feet wet first with LinkedIn or something before you go into spending your money and putting that in your budget. Because one of the things we're going to be talking about in future shows is making sure you have a budget and a plan for the business and for your marketing and sales efforts. And so we want to make sure those things come into play. But always, 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 I said in my business, I use the free things first and get the most out of them, learn from that, and then I can better assess when I need to budget for that. Let's kind of jump a little bit ahead. I'm going to pull up the budgeting on a marketing on a shoestring. How have you been able to do that at each of the companies you've been at? They've all been small businesses that I've known you working at, and they really don't have the funds to spend a lot of money. How does the networking and the referral and the other things that you can do make that maximized?
That plays a huge role. It's true that the budgets that small companies have is tiny, and so you really have to make the most of it. It's really just trial and error, honestly, trying to figure out which groups to join and be a part of, the ones that cost money, and sometimes making a mistake and you might not find the right fit that does benefit your company. So part of it is trial and error, but part of it is, and from experience, I'd say the free thing is you can ask people to coffee or to meet for lunch, and I'd say those are the most useful out of anything, you know, beyond joining any of the groups. Certainly, you know, pick one or two and, you know, be active in those and stay committed to those. But really, it's taking that time aside and doing those free things that will take you the furthest.
So we're going to say tip two today then is to make sure that you try out different groups before joining where possible. And then also, once you find a place that you're comfortable in, make a commitment to a few groups rather than trying to attend everything in your area. As a small business owner, you're going to have a lot of things on your plate. As Rachel was saying, she wears a lot of hats. Everyone in small businesses do. But we need to be conscious of how we spend our time to our best advantage. So we want to find great groups that do great relationships and that we can leverage using the least amount of our time and giving those groups quality time so we get quality time back and quality referrals. Is that a good summary?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So let's talk about how to be effective in giving and receiving referrals by being clear on what your target is and knowing how to target specifically what, say, let's say Forrester needs. Mm-hmm. When you come out knowing what the customer is that you need, that's your ideal customer, how do you convey that to someone in your group?
I think I have to just be specific with examples of new clients without naming who the client is. Just name the industry, because in my opinion, everyone needs health insurance. It would be great if all companies offered health insurance, but that doesn't help the people in my group think of me. I think what helps is if I say, hey, you know, we just started working with this CPA firm last week and here's how we helped them. Or, you know, we worked with this school and this is what we were able to do this year as, you know, they faced an increase. We'd made a few changes here. And so therefore, we were able to help keep within their budget and of course, keep their health insurance in place. So by giving examples of the types of businesses you're working with, and again, telling stories, I think you really can help those that are in your referral network think of you a little bit easier.
So tip three for today is make sure you know the story that you want to tell. As a new business, you may not have customers that you can cite a customer story, but you could cite a story from your previous career if it's in a similar field, saying how you helped a customer there and that's what you're going to be doing in your business. Or give them the ideal story. You know, this is what I know I can do, and frame it. Right, as Rachel said, a CPA firm, a school. Just understand who you're going to target and who you're going to serve best and take those steps and create those stories that you can share. As she said, storytelling sticks with people much more than saying, I want to meet a mid-sized company that has 500 employees and $10 million in revenue. Give people something that they can hang their hat on and that they can take with them and remember. Build that story and build that connection through that story. As a friend of mine told me, Leanne, who does the Courage Cocktail Show on Wednesdays at noon on this station, She says, emotion is the tie that tells the story and brings someone in and hooks them to remember things. And that's what we each want to do in our businesses and in our relationships, is create a genuine connection so that we can keep those stories and share them and give the referrals and get those referrals. So let's kind of talk about budgeting and setting those goals for businesses. If someone had $500 to start marketing their business, where would you tell them to spend it first?
Oh, that's a tough one. Let's see. Is this a startup, one-person
company? Yeah, just a
small
one-person shop.
Wow, that's a really tough one, because I kind of feel like I would need to know more of the industry, okay, too, and what they're thinking.
So let's think it's a mom-and-pop coffee shop.
Okay.
And they want to get the message out. They want to reach out to their network and to the community and build, mm-hmm, that network. Mm-hmm. Would you send them to the Chamber of Commerce? Would you send them to BNI Group?
You know, I would have them go to the Chamber of Commerce for sure. But also, again, if we're talking $500 in marketing, they certainly need to have the business cards made, maybe with something on the back of the business card just to, invite someone to come in for a free cup of coffee. I think that always helps if you give away something for free at first, just something very, very small if you're launching
your business.
So, again,
make that connection, invite them in.
Mm-hmm. And certainly using the free things that we just talked about, Facebook, LinkedIn, just to get the word out there.
So let's talk about business cards. You mentioned that as one of the things that everyone should have. Mm-hmm. What do you think should be on that card?
I believe in using both the front and the back side of the
Amen.
Card.
Amen, I do too.
because as most of us have seen, if you don't put something on the back, someone else is going to write something on the back. So it just depends. An example of what we do with our cards. So we have, of course, contact information, most important. But on the back, we mention, have questions about healthcare reform, please contact us. We're happy to help. So just something in addition, just to remind them about what you can do. And if you are a business where you can give away something for free, put that little freebie on the back to encourage that they follow up with you.
So I'm wondering, do you put your Twitter handle on your business cards? Or
for us, I'm trying to recall, I'd have to pull one out right now, but I think we don't. We put it on our signature on our email.
Okay.
And so because that's digital, right, anyway, so easy to click through. We have our Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn all on our email signatures. But no, not on our business cards. We don't. I do think it's a great idea though, but ours ended up being very full business cards as they were, so we didn't want to add that at the end.
Well, I know my printers keep saying he's going to start abbreviating things on mine because there's just no space to put everything on it. I may go to a trifold. That would be an interesting business card. So we were talking about LinkedIn, and you just mentioned email and what you're putting in the signature there. Do you put anything different in for, when you're marketing for the Ronald McDonald House, or say
I do. Okay. I do. That's a great question. And I don't know if you noticed that from my signature maybe last year. It currently is not on my signature, but it will be added again. I serve on the board of the trustees for the Ronald McDonald House of Durham. I also am chair of our annual fundraising gala, Winterfest, which is held in February. As the time grows closer and we're trying to sell tables and tickets and recruit sponsors for the event, I will put on the bottom of my signature, please ask me about the Ronald McDonald House and how you can help, and probably provide a link as well to sell the tickets. So I certainly do include that in my signature.
So this is a good time to ask, is there anything exciting going on with the Ronald McDonald House of Durham that you need to tell us about?
Yes, there's always something exciting, first of all, but most importantly, we are having a very cool, very fun fundraising breakfast on October 22nd, and that takes place at the Cotton Exchange. It's called the Cotton Room. It's in downtown Durham, and it's a breakfast at 7:30 a.m. It's just 1 hour, and we would love to have more people come out to that. It's where you'll get to sit, have breakfast, network, and learn about the mission of the Ronald McDonald House of Durham.
So is there a website they can go to for that?
www.ronaldhousedurham.org or they can call the station, and if I'll leave the information with you as well.
Okay, that's great. We'll post it on my website, and we'll have it handy for everyone.
Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah. Well, we like to do our public service announcements here, too. So we've talked about how to maximize our network from not having one. I know I had none when I started my business. And you'll make mistakes. Mm-hmm. We'll make missteps. How do you recover from them if you have a bad one-on-one? Or you bring somebody into your referral group that just doesn't fit? Can you think of a situation where you've just had...
You just have to learn from them. They're going to happen. And you can, you know, waste 2 seconds feeling bad about it, but then you have to move on. I've had not great one-on-ones, and I have probably, you know, invited folks to the group that may not have been the right fit, and whereas I thought they were at first. So I think you just have to learn from the mistakes and move on as quickly as you can, and don't let it stop you from going out there to have another coffee appointment. And sometimes you do reach that point as you drive to that appointment and you're wondering, oh, is this going to be a good appointment? Are they going to be a good connection or not? Am I wasting my time doing this? You have to throw that out the window, because through all of the ones that you meet, you're going to find some great folks that you can do business with for sure.
Now, I have to kind of share one of my worst stories I had. I met a gentleman who had come to the area through one of our formal networking groups. It's a financial executives group. And met him for lunch. And he was asking, could I introduce him to all of these people? And there's sort of a level of trust when you're in a formal group and someone gets admitted, because that's supposed to mean people have screened them. And so I was giving him connections into, you know, people I knew that I thought would be good for him to meet. And then we got to the end of the meeting, and I said, so who all do you know? Because you have been here a little while. He goes, well, I don't think I know you well enough to introduce you to anybody. And so it was an interesting example of making sure you really do have a relationship of trust before you share your LinkedIn connections, before you invite someone in, and just really take time to look beyond the face or the surface to doing that. And that really, for a while, I was really gun shy about reaching out to other people and sharing information and giving introductions. But like you said, you have to shake it off.
Yeah.
And just put it down to a bad apple is going to be around here or there. And I still think of him to this day when his name pops up, and I just kind of smile. But I can guarantee you I've never referred to him again or shared my contacts. So let's talk a little bit more about when you were at the virtual bookkeeping service. That's when we met. And we spent a lot of time having shared customers.
Yes.
And serving one another. And how does it keep the quality of the services that you're sharing with your customer up by sharing and having common interests in those with your referral group members?
I think it really strengthens your relationship with your customer when you do have those shared relationships with other partners. And as you bring additional people to the table to assist them with their business, and they can really see with their own eyes that you're not just there trying to sell them your service, you're trying to make sure that all aspects of their business are taken care of, and that you really truly care about the growth of their business and seeing them do well. And so I really feel like it does strengthen your relationship with them, as well as with the partners that you're doing business with. You get to see firsthand how they're helping them, and they are seeing how you help their client as well. So I think it's win-win all the way around.
Okay, we're going to take another break right now. And when we come back, we'll finish this conversation and wrap it up with a summary of the tips of the day.
We'd like to thank our underwriter, Focus Resources. Get practical advice on how to start, fund, grow, and run your business. Focus Resources also specializes in government grant and contract compliance for small businesses, innovation, and research grants. To get to know this WCOM-FM supporter, visit their website at www.focusresourcesinc.com today. WCOM, your all-volunteer community radio station in Carrboro, needs your support. Do you have an idea for a radio show? How about an interest in engineering or a computer background? Are you interested in fundraising or just meeting a group of wonderful people? Please consider a donation of time or money to support this gem of the community. To find out more, please check out our website, wcomfm.org. That's wcomfm.org.
Hello and welcome back to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland, and our guest today is Rachel Kovic-Lyons, a Forrester and Associates Insurance Agency here in Carrboro and also in Durham. And Rachel and I have been having a great conversation about networking and referrals and how to get the most out of those kind of relationships for yourself, your business, and your customers. And so, Rachel, while we were at break, you reminded me that you had a book you wanted to tell us about.
I did. This goes back to that question of marketing on a shoestring budget if you've got the $500. This is one book that I would say absolutely go out and buy. It was a tremendous help to me. It's called Never Eat Alone. It's by Keith Ferrazzi. And it's just a wonderful book that helps you to learn how to network better. It has some great principles to follow. It makes perfect sense. It doesn't push you out of your comfort zone usually, but basically the premise is to fill your calendar with a lunch with a new person as much as you can. And if you're not eating alone, you're out there meeting new people, and that's growing your network.
Well, that's great. So if you could think of one thing from that book, besides never eating alone, what was one thing that he gave you?
Don't ever dismiss an opportunity or prejudge it before meeting someone. And, you know, as like I mentioned before, as you head to that coffee meeting, you stay positive. You don't know, and you do have to keep going, because even if it is not going to be the best connection, maybe the next coffee meeting you have with someone else is going to be. So you've got to just keep at it.
Well, that's great. So in an average week, I probably have five of those never eating alone moments, whether it's coffee, dinner, or lunch. Is that the ideal amount, would you say, or should you go for more, especially starting your business?
It just depends, I think, on what you can budget as far as your time goes. But I think five is a great start. I do the same pretty much for lunches, with the exception of today. So if anyone doesn't have lunch plans. I try to do at least one coffee a day as well. So if you can make it, you know, between 5 and 10 appointments. But that all comes down to what your time allows. And our company has hired me to do this networking for them. But if you're a small business owner who wears all of the hats, you may not have that time. So 5 is great.
So one thing you have to think about when you're doing these referral lunches, those getting to know you type things, is your budget, because the meals are in the budget. And I have a rule: if I invite someone in, I pick up the tab.
Me too.
And sometimes that's a little struggle over that, because we still have some Southern gentlemen in the area that don't like the lady to pick up the tab. But, you know, there are those that are more than happy. But realize, when you're inviting someone, you want to invite them to a restaurant where you can have a conversation without yelling, that you have some privacy, so that you can chat and stay as long as you need to. Don't stay overly long unless it's really great connection. Keep to your schedule. And be aware of making sure you choose a restaurant where there are going to be food choices. If someone has a food allergy, or, you know, doesn't eat pork, whatever that is, just make sure you have you go to a restaurant that has a broad range of options for food. And remember, you're really there to talk and not to eat. And so plan for that accordingly.
That's a great point. I go home or go back to the office, I mean, right after lunch is sometimes, and I'm hungry because I spent the whole time talking.
That's what doggy bags are for. So, yes. So many a times you leave the table because you haven't eaten your meal and stuff. And I kind of judge, too, because I know I can eat when they're talking. So if I'm further along in my meal than they are, I know that I've been learning as much as I can about them and not necessarily going overboard about talking about my businesses. And so you're going to learn to pick up subtle clues from doing these meetings and getting to know people and finding the best places to meet. I know I used to meet at Champs over at Streets of South Point so regularly that Miss Strickland got table 47 every week when she was in there, and it sort of became my corner office. But they knew not to interrupt too often. They knew when to come in and those kind of things, and just facilitated it. And again, that's building part of the community too by doing business and going into the coffee shops and the restaurants in your area to do business and bring them business. And it's a great relationship there too, and a great way to build the community. So Rachel, I'm going to ask you for three things that you think everyone should know about referrals and networking that we haven't covered at this point.
Let's see. Number one, it's not as scary as you think. Anyone can do it. If I can do it, anyone can do it. Number two, gosh, that's a good one. You can make a game out of it almost, and make it a fun time. I've sometimes just gone out with business friends and to the same event, you know, and just to see, you know, what we can come back with and then share with each other afterwards.
So that's actually a double tip.
Mm-hmm.
Go to an event with multiple people with the intent of coming back and mm-hmm. having leads, contacts that you can share with them immediately. Mm-hmm. And that actually leverages your meeting time there too. So that's great.
Yeah. And I think the final one is just focus on the relationship. It's all about building relationships and helping your customers. And we naturally, you know, want to do the right thing for our customers. And I think that if you just focus on that and being the best that you can be at your own job and what you do, this will come easily for you.
So I want to give you a couple minutes to tell me more about Forrester and Associates Insurance Agency. What products and services do you offer? How do you work? And how do people get in touch with you?
Thank you. Forrester & Associates has been around since 1976. We are five great ladies. Not that we have anything against men. We just happen to be all ladies right now. We provide employee benefits to companies, small ones, ranging from 1 to 200 employees. We also work with individuals to help them find their health insurance. And so we're licensed with all of the major carriers that you know. And right now we are just trying to help our clients figure out what's happening with this Affordable Care Act and educate them. We're doing seminars and webinars and just trying to keep everybody up to date. We love to help our clients with the health as well as other benefits. We offer life, disability, both short and long term. And then we can help with Medicare supplements as well.
Well, that's great. And I'm going to tell our listeners that we are on the November 19th show going to be talking about healthcare, health benefits, and all the impact of the Affordable Health Care and Patient Protection Act, or what we call as Obamacare. And so I hope if anyone has questions, they'll email them to me at Lee Strickland. That's one word, LeeStrickland.com. And let me know what kind of questions we need to be asking on that show that you have concerns about Obamacare, the impact on your insurance, your premiums, whatever it is. Just email me those questions and we'll be asking them on November 19th and getting those answers. So now to wrap up today's show, I want to go back over some of the tips that we were talking about today. Let's start with don't be afraid to go out and get involved and network. Look for a place where you can be comfortable, but yet stretch yourself and get out of your comfort zone. As Rachel said, she's relatively shy, and so she's been able to get out there and do it and do it so wonderfully and set a great example for those of us who know her about how to do this. We want you to commit to a few groups and not be everything to everybody and try to hit every networking group. Focus on those that will give you the most bang for your buck or the most leverage into the industry or the target market that you want to grow your business with. Find a referral group, a networking group that you can become a member of and build relationships with. So it's all about relationships when you're building your network. And remember, we alluded to the 6 degrees of separation. It's amazing to find out how you can reach someone with just one phone call to someone you know or looking at their LinkedIn groups and see how you can connect and reach out. And you can reach out to just about anybody you want to if you have the right relationships of trust in your network around you. Remember that you're building a business and you're going to be building your customers' businesses or meeting a need out there. And so focus on that relationship and bringing in qualified referral organizations to help support you in supporting that customer. Make it about the customer. Make it about the person sitting across from the table from you at lunch and learning as much as you can about them. Next, have a great story. Have a great story to tell. As Rachel said, it sticks in her mind when she has a story about what the other person's business is and does, much more than if she just has facts and figures about, over 200 employees, 50 million in revenue, anywhere in the country, those kind of things. Be specific and don't be afraid to ask people for an introduction, for tips on how to network and grow your referral group. And remember, we have virtual groups like LinkedIn that you can get out there and make connections to. You have formal groups, BNI, that Rachel and I have both experienced, and then we have the independent or private groups. Understand what it is that you're looking for in your group and go out there and find that. If you're an introvert, then it may take a little bit more to get you out of your shell, but it's worth it. Don't stress on the drive, as Rachel said, or prejudge the sessions. And be sure that you get to know each person as well as you can so that you can make great introductions to them. Also, I want Rachel to tell us the name of the book again.
Sure. It's Never Eat Alone, and that's by Keith Ferrazzi.
Okay. And I know one place I have loved the food and the atmosphere to eat, and that is Rachel's husband's restaurant, Blue.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit about Blue, too, while we've got
a moment. Thank you. That's my husband's restaurant. Blue Seafood and Bar is the name. It's located in Durham, right near 9th Street. It's right next to Vin Rouge, and it's just fresh, wonderful seafood inspired by Key West. It's also got a little bit of Southern California influence because that's where my husband's from, but it's great. I know it's fresh because every single night, late at night, he's calling in that fish order, and every single morning he's going in to meet the guys who are dropping off the delivery.
So what are the hours?
The hours for lunch, I believe, are 11:30 to 2. He's going to kill me if I get it wrong. I think it's 11:30 to 2. And then dinner starts at 5 o'clock, and that is Monday through Saturday. He is closed completely on Sundays, and there's also no lunch on Saturdays, but okay. Lunch is Monday through Friday.
So if you're looking for a great place to network, keep Blue Seafood Restaurant in mind. And we want to remember, again, the Ronald McDonald House. You have an event coming up for that.
Thank you. October 22nd.
And that is their website?
www.ronaldhousedurham.org. Or you can call into the station, and I will leave the information with Lee as well.
Okay,
if there's time, can I plug one event coming up for networking?
Yes, absolutely.
Tomorrow night, that's Wednesday night, the Triangle Professionals, that's the networking group that I'm a part of, we are hosting a networking event at Buffalo Wild Wings, which is right across from South Point Mall here in Durham. The event starts at 5:30. It will run till 7:30, and it's open to anyone in any profession who's interested in just getting out there and meeting some people. So please come out. You don't need to RSVP.
So you have a standing invitation there for the networking group tomorrow night at Buffalo Wild Wings. No, Thursday night.
Tomorrow night.
Wednesday night. And that is at the Streets of South Point near P.F. Chang's. It's right across the street from P.F. Chang's. And so thank you, Rachel, for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to ask the listeners to tune in next week when we will be talking about financing the business, understanding your options, banking, credit lines, bank accounts, and more. And our guest will be John Roten of Harrington Bank, your community bank.
Blaming all on my roots, I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show, I was the last one you thought you'd see there. And I saw the surprise and the fear in his eyes when I took his glass of champagne. I toasted you, said, honey, we may be through, but you'll never hear me complain. 'Cause I've got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. Well, I'll be okay. Now I'm not big on see.